Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you.
Good evening, and welcome to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation with our hosts, Allie and Doc, as Allie shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion and or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or Web Talk Radio agent shall be held liable for the content of programs, including any advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this Web Talk Radio program. Now, as we say each and every week, grab a piece of paper or your journal and a pen so you can jot down notes as you share in this journey with us this evening. We have an exciting show for you this evening. So without further ado, join me in a virtual applause as I welcome our show host, Allie. Allie?
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of There is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host. And along with my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, the founder of Elite Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders, it is always our pleasure to be your guide as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after recently being laid off and as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions. Please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you wish to contact us, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please, follow us on Twitter. You can find me tweeting at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio at ALR Radio. So on behalf of Doc and myself, we thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into the experience of being laid off. Now, before I get into making a few general announcements and get started with the show tonight, I wanted to take a brief moment to ask that all of you please bear with me tonight because I just learned on yesterday that I need to have a root canal on one of my teeth. And so if I talk a little funny from time to time, it may be because I'm dealing with a little bit of pain. So please just bear with me. But you know what they say, the show must go on, and I say that the devil is a liar, and I'm going to get through this tonight, and it's all for the glory of God. So we're going to get through it together. So moving right along, for those of you who have been tuning in during our summer series, last week we replayed one of our more popular shows about walking in your purpose and discovering your passion when we were honored to be joined by our guest co-host, Minister Lutina Morrell. Now, I'm sure that for those of you who heard the show, you will have to agree that it was definitely a spirit-filled and very inspirational show. So we thank you for tuning in. Well, you know what? Time has really flown by, and summer is quickly coming to an end. And guess what? Now it is time for us to send the kids back to school. Now, with that said, tonight is our official There is Life After Layoff Radio Back to School episode in which our goal is to provide both parents and students with some important information and resources that can be useful with ensuring a successful school year for our children. So in doing so, tonight we will be joined by two very special guests who will help us to provide you with some helpful tools as we send the kids back to school. So with that said, As our beloved Doc continues to take some time off to enjoy being a newlywed, I am again privileged to be joined by our executive producer, Mel D. So thank you for being here tonight, Mel D, and I know that tonight's show is definitely going to be helpful for our listeners, and I myself will definitely be taking notes.
Oh, yes. I'm so happy with the show format and with the guests, and I'm looking forward to hearing what information they're going to share with us.
Absolutely. So thank you again for being with me, Mel D.
You're welcome.
And now, as we get ready to start another school year, as a parent, I wanted to reiterate a point that I made a couple of weeks ago to all of our listeners, and especially to all of the parents out there. And that is, please take time to talk to your children about who they are and let them know that their lives mean something. In light of all that is going on in society, you know, and in the media, it is a time for fathers to step up to the plate and speak positive affirmations into our sons, and for our mothers to also speak positive affirmations into our daughters. Don't let the negative images that they see and hear in the media, in the streets, and from their friends be the only images that they grow up believing about who they are. Let them know that what they have to say is important and that they matter in this world, okay? So as we keep it moving tonight, if you happen to miss a particular show, you can catch up on what you've missed through the ALR website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And we've made it very easy for you to do that and to listen to all of the past recorded shows because we have a automatic player box on the programming page. All you have to do is access the website, simply click on the show you want to listen to, and it will start playing for you automatically. We are also on iTunes, which is huge. So you can find us on iTunes by searching Atlanta Life Radio under podcast, and there we are. All of our past recorded shows are available, and after tonight's live show, you will be able to upload it about an hour or so after it airs. So we thank you for continuing to tune into those shows. So we are ready to get started with the heart of the show tonight. And as I mentioned earlier, it's time to send the kids back to school. And actually, my daughter already started back to school last week. She started middle school this year, and that in and of itself is a major transition, in a child's academic life. Now, when I was in school, elementary went all the way up to the sixth grade, and then I went to junior high school, which included seventh and eighth grade. Now, these days, middle school starts with sixth grade and also includes seventh and eighth grade. So with that said, the transition to middle school is often as challenging for the parents as it is for the students, mainly because we are both saying goodbye to childhood and then saying hello to the beginning of adolescence. Now, I will even be a little transparent with you about how I'm handling that, because last week when I dropped my daughter off at school for her first day, I actually started crying as I pulled away. And it may sound silly, but I came home and I called Doc, and she immediately thought that something was wrong. But then when she realized why I was crying, we both had a good laugh about it, and she said that that was just the mom in me. And I think I'm really in shock, and I can't believe that I actually have a sixth grader on one hand, and then another part of me is sad that, you know, I want to still hold on to my firstborn, my baby girl. So, no, with my daughter making this transition, it brings me back to the point that I made earlier in the show, and this is when we as parents can help to set the tone for success for our children when we recognize that we need to take the time to have some very important discussions with them, which now leads me to sharing with you how I met our first guest tonight. Now, I reached out to her for a couple of reasons, because not only is my daughter, as I mentioned, transitioning from elementary to middle school, but she is also making the transition from private school into a public school, which is a big change for her. So my husband and I talked about how we can make sure that our daughter would know what to expect and also be comfortable and successful with making such a huge change. After all she's known is private school. She's been there since she was 3 years old, and that's been all she's known. So it is with that mindset that we felt it would be a good idea to then contact the counselor at my daughter's new school and set up a meeting with her. So we reached out to our first guest who understood our concerns and was so gracious and kind enough to sit down with my husband, daughter, and I to help us feel comfortable about her making this transition. So it is at this time that it is my distinct pleasure to welcome to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, Ms. Kalila Williams, a counselor at J. Dobbins Middle School here in Paulding County. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight, Ms. Williams.
Oh, you're welcome, and it's my pleasure to be here, and I am humbled by this experience, and thank you so much for having me. I hope whatever I share tonight will be helpful to, you know, to your listeners and to you as well.
I'm sure it is. Like I mentioned earlier, I am going to be taking some notes myself because I'm sure I'm going to learn something new tonight as well. So before we actually get started, can you just kind of share with our listeners briefly a little bit about your background and your experience as a counselor?
Sure. This is my 10th year as a counselor in Paulding County, and I actually my 10th year at Dobbins Middle School as well.
Wow.
Prior to that, I taught middle school math, and I also taught a year of high school math. So I've been in education for about 12 years. I've always had a passion for, you know, helping children. My original degree was in business, you know, it was short-lived, and I'd like to think that God just let, you know, the path just quickly changed. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be, and, you know, he brought me to education, and, you know, and this is where my passion is. And so since then, I went back to school to become a middle school counselor, and this is where I've been since then. Like I said, this is my 10th year, and I look at my job as my job is to prepare students for success in many different areas and through many different avenues. We mainly focus on, careers. We focus on academics.
Mm-hmm.
And we also focus on, you know, helping students in personal social areas as well. And, you know, we do that through many different ways. We give lessons. We have small groups. We do individual counseling, things like that. So it's multifaceted.
Okay. Wow. It sounds like your journey is similar to mine. You know, my degree was in business, and now here I am on the radio and blogging, which is definitely not, you know, the journey that I started out on. But, you know, sometimes God will take us in another direction, you know, but nonetheless a blessing. So as we get into some of the questions that we have, can you discuss for our listeners the transition that students will make from elementary to middle school and then into high school, and why is this considered one of the most important transitions that a student will make?
Absolutely. I think you covered it in your introduction. It's an important transition because it's kind of like you said, you're saying goodbye to, in elementary school, I think they like to call them their babies. And, you know, you're watching your child transition into young adulthood.
Right.
And middle school is that those 3 years, you see your child grow so much in terms of their maturity, being responsible, how they make choices, and so that's what makes this transition, you know, so important. And a lot changes as parents. You know, you've probably been with the elementary school for 5 or 6 years, probably starting with kindergarten all the way up to fifth grade. So you've established relationships with the staff.
Right.
You know the protocol and procedures very well. You've become kind of like a family, and now you're being forced to leave what you know is comfortable into a totally different world, because middle school is different. Your child goes from having one or two teachers to having anywhere between 5 and 7 teachers. And so that's 5 to 7 different teaching styles, 5 to 7 different personalities. The workload does increase, as well as the responsibility. So that can be different for the child as well as for the parents. And you, like I said, you watch the child from sixth grade. And I think one of the big misconceptions with parents, especially if you've never experienced middle school, is that you just kind of drop your kid off and it's like a free for all, and we help them. But we really do. You know, we really do baby step it. We hold hands, especially with sixth grade, and make sure, you know, that they feel comfortable with being in a different environment, changing classes because they didn't change classes in elementary school.
Right.
And opening lockers, that's a big deal to kids.
Right.
And so we really, you know, hold their hand until we feel like they feel comfortable. And, you know, we set realistic expectations, and I'd like to think that we help our kids get there.
Right, and you are so right, because, you know, now I feel like a fish out of water because, you know, I knew the staff. I was a room mom at that school,
right.
And it's like, okay, what do I do now, right?
Right, right.
So we are going through this together, and we'll get through it together. But, moving forward, what are some of the major concerns that students may have related to being successful in making this type of a transition? And what role does being organized play in that transition?
Oh, very good question. Mm-hmm. Really, when kids are transitioning into middle school, some of the things they worry about, like I mentioned earlier, switching classes, they worry about getting lost because it's a bigger building. So
right.
How will they remember their schedule? How do they transition to lunch? How do they open their lockers? That is huge for middle schoolers. Another major issue on the social aspect is making friends and fitting in.
Yes.
Will they like me?
Right.
You know, will I be cool enough? Things like that. Those are major concerns. And so you hit on something very important. At the beginning, saying it's important to speak into your children's lives when they're very young and do that very consistently
right.
So that when they're faced with different challenges when they get to middle school, they feel very comfortable in their skin.
Right.
They feel very comfortable with making decisions on their own. And you find that kids who feel very comfortable in their skin tend not to compromise their belief as much. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
But because they feel comfortable, they tend to stand firm on who they are and what they believe. So
absolutely.
Those are some of the challenges. Organization, I always tell parents and students that it is the cornerstone to success in middle school, in high school, and just in life in general. And with organization, I wasn't born organized. I had to learn it. My sister was born with that gift. She's always been very organized, but my mom had to help me. And then just learning and watching different people and learning a style that was comfortable for me, I had to because when I wasn't organized, I just always felt like I was just out of tune or behind or I wasn't making the mark. And so organization just kind of pulls everything together. And one of the misconceptions, I guess I would say, that parents have, I hear a lot of parents oftentimes say, my child needs to get organized. You need to be more organized. And so what I try to impress upon them, it's a learned behavior, and it's something that has to be modeled,
right?
And especially at home. And so if it's not something that you're modeling at home, it's not something that's just going to magically happen at school,
right?
And so home is just, you know, home is an extension of school. School is an extension of home. It all is just, it's kind of cyclical. And so
right.
There has to be some pattern of organization established at home. I think kids thrive on being structured. And so structure can't stop at 3:35 when school ends. It has to continue at home, have a schedule, have a normal study time every night. And kind of be engaging, especially the younger years with with kids, like around, you know, especially in sixth grade, I think parents think once kids get to middle school that they can kind of back up, but you really still need to be very engaged in their education.
Right.
You know, you might want to quiz them. They might have spelling tests. Or if they're reading a book, you might want to check the book out at the library, read it with them.
Exactly.
And
ask
them questions. But organization is going to be key to being successful in middle school.
And you know what? It is so on point what you said, because I'm a person that's – I'm a planner by nature. And so that's my forte. I love to plan things, and I'm pretty organized. And so I have been working with my daughter on being more organized. And you're absolutely right. It's something that you have to teach them at home, because she's very creative, but she's not so much organized like I am. But you know what? You just got to work with them and continue to be very hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows I'm hands-on, sometimes maybe too much, but
that's good. Better too much than not.
Right,
not enough,
exactly.
So.
I wanted to ask you, what concerns do teachers have at the middle school level? Because, you know, we always get what concerns about that the students may have, but what concerns do the teachers actually have?
If I had to pick the teachers, I would say that teachers want to make sure that parents understand that we are all a team. I think sometimes parents think it's, you know, it's them against us, but we all have the same goal. Teachers, parents, students, staff, we all, you know, want to make sure that that student, when they leave us, that we've set them up for success in high school and life beyond high school. And so we all have to work together. And it's just like a family. You may not always agree. You may not agree with my teaching style. I may not agree with how some of the things you do as a parent. But at the end of the day, we have to work together.
Right. Absolutely.
We have to work together to make sure that the end goal is accomplished, and that's making sure that your child is set up for success.
Absolutely.
I think that's the main thing, that we all work together. And when you mentioned, like, you were a class mom in elementary school, that doesn't stop at middle school. They want parents to volunteer. They want parents to just, you know, pop in if you want to sit in and watch what your child is learning that day. You know, the educational system, I think, in general is very inviting, and we want parents to be involved, because I think the more involved parents are, the more successful their children will be. So.
Absolutely. I know our time is getting short, but there is another question that I think is very important that we need to talk about is how can parents recognize that their son or their daughter may be struggling with fitting in or being successful in transitioning into middle school? What are those signs that parents can notice?
Things like a change in your child's patterns. If you always had a happy-go-lucky child, always very engaged, and that changes abruptly, or they don't want to participate in activities anymore, or just sudden changes in moods. Now, just being a teenager or going into preteen adolescence, there's going to be a change in some moods just automatically, because you got hormones and different things. But drastic changes, like changes in grades or changing in their eating patterns, things like that. And like I tell parents, this is not the time to step back. This is the time to be engaged, intrusive. Go on Facebook, read text messages. Talk to your children. This is the time to give them, you know, you want to give them more freedom. Freedom is, you know, freedom, like my mom used to tell me, is earned, and responsibility is earned. But you don't want it to just be a free-for-all, because kids can be impressionable.
Right.
And so you want to make sure that they're making good choices.
Absolutely.
And you want to make sure, invite their friends over. Know who they are hanging around at school. Have sleepovers.
Right.
you know, do things, go out to the mall with them, take them to the movies, so you know the mindset of the kids that they're hanging around to make mm-hmm. sure that they're hanging with like-minded people.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's funny you mentioned that, because I actually had a discussion with my daughter, and I told her, I said, this is the time that you take a step back and you observe people, observe mm-hmm. behavior, observe who's acting which way, and then at that point, once you have observed, you decide, okay, who is more in line with how I live my life and the choices
mm-hmm.
that I know that my parents want me to make. And so
absolutely.
I told her this is an observation period now, because, you know, once you start establishing that relationship, you know, it would be hard to kind of pull away from it if, you know, you get into this and then you finally see, okay, that person is not in tune with how I'm being raised, you know.
Right.
So I told
right.
her to kind of take a step back and look and see who's who and who's what and who's acting which way, and you know what is expected of you. You know,
right.
at home, so make that choice, you know, based
right.
on observing what you see in the classroom, you know. So.
Right, very good advice. That was good.
Yes. So, you know, we are kind of coming to a close but on our segment, but I wanted to just ask you one quick question. What
sure.
are some resources that are available to students if they may have some issues in fitting in? You know, what resources are available at your school?
A good place to start is always when you have questions or you're thinking about maybe, you know, there's some issues that you need to address with your student. The counselor is always a great place to start.
Okay.
I know within our county we have, and I know every county is probably set up like this, but there are many different resources within the county that are available, you know, helping kids to cope with social issues.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you go to your counselor and bring your concerns, you know, bring your concerns to the counselor, a lot of times, you know, just through some conversations with the counselor
okay.
and making the teacher aware of concerns,
okay.
they're more observant, that can help to address concerns. You know, once teachers are made aware that there are concerns, you know, they can be more vigilant and diligent about keeping an eye on a student, making
gotcha.
Sure that they're hanging around the right kids and making sure that they're making the right choices and
right.
things like that. So a lot of times just bringing your concern
right.
to the forefront
absolutely.
Can help out a lot.
Okay. Thank you so much for your information tonight. It's very insightful. Thank you for agreeing to be here with us tonight. I know that our parents and students have been helped by what you've shared with us tonight, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, as we wind down to take our first station break, I remind you that if you wish to call in and share with us tonight, we will be taking calls at the end of the show. You can reach us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. And immediately following the break, we will be joined by our next guest, Ms. Vanessa Bonaparte, professional counselor and department chair at Hiram High School. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, and I'm Ali, your host, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God.
If you are just joining us, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff with our show host, Allie, and her co-host, Doc. We want to take this moment to thank each and every listener who tunes in each and every week, and our sponsors and our partners, because without you, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in learning more about how you can become a partner or a sponsor with Atlanta Life Radio, please contact us. You can go to our website at www.atlantaliferadio.com and click onto our contact page and send us your contact information, and we will get right back with you. Now, we have a full show today and another guest, so without further ado, we're going to go back to Allie. Allie?
We are back, and if you are just joining us, welcome, and you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I'm your host, Allie, and along with my regular co-host, Doc, who happens to be off tonight, we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., and you can follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com, and we're on Twitter at Allie Ward 45, and Atlanta Life Radio can be found tweeting at ALR Radio. So please follow us. Okay, Mel D, we are ready for our next guest, who happens to be one of my neighbors. Our husbands have become friends, so that is how I met our next guest. And I knew that she worked in education, but I didn't realize that she was actually a counselor until just recently. Now, when I started to prepare for this show, I found out that she had many years of experience with counseling in the public school system at both the middle school and high school level, which just goes to show you that God will give you what you need when you need it, and sometimes it can be staring you right in the face. So it is without further ado that I welcome to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, Miss Vanessa Bonaparte, who is a professional counselor and department chair at Hiram High School. Thank you for joining me tonight and being a part of our back-to-school episode.
Thank you, and I appreciate the privilege for having me. And also thanks to my colleague, Ms. Williams, because she's been awesome just sharing information that I'm sure parents and students could really benefit from. So thanks a lot for having me, Allie.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. And as I asked Ms. Williams earlier, can you share with our listeners just a little bit about yourself, including your background and experience as a counselor?
Sure. I think you've mentioned I've had a number of years as a high school counselor. This is my seventh year in high school, and I've had 4 years of middle school.
Okay.
So I work at the high school as the 11th grade counselor and department chair. However, I'm also teaching at Kennesaw as a SAT prep, so my job kind of goes hand in hand, so I'll be glad to also share some helpful tips for parents.
Okay, great. Wow. You seem like you have a lot on your plate.
Oh, my plate is full. It's very full. But you know what? I love it, and it just keeps me going because everything that I do is to help the student, and also each thing that I'm doing on a daily basis, it's for my benefit as well. I love when I can see the extra work is helping the kid get to where they need to get.
Absolutely. Now, as we get started with our questions tonight, can you please discuss for our listeners, similar to what I discussed with Ms. Williams, the transition that students will make from the 8th to 9th grade, and what are some important issues related to that transition for parents to be aware of?
Certainly. One of the things that students tend to, have fun is when they get to high school to get involved in clubs and activities. It's a lot more freedom and more independence, and it requires a lot more in the school setting. For example, in middle school, students go to lunch with their teachers, and they eat with their teachers, walk back to class. In high school, they have a lunch period, A, B, C, or D lunch. They have a time frame. They go after school. They have activities. They're there, and a parent is not necessarily there. So they have a lot of independence, a little bit more in the high school setting.
Right, definitely. What advice would you give to parents regarding how they can help their son or daughters make the transition from middle school to high school a little bit more comfortable for them?
Well, one of the things that I like to say to parents is ask the question to the student, how do you feel about high school? Sometimes it could just be a little apprehension about the type of classes they'll be taking.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it could be the type of clothes, what am I going to eat, what is lunch about. Just have that conversation, and once you have the conversation with the student, probably most of the things that they're concerned about, the transition will be a little bit better. Now, for parents, some of the things that they probably are concerned about is how is my child going to fit in now in high school?
Right.
Larger numbers, a bigger environment. And that's one of the things that we try to do as counselors, to educate them, to let them know that kids are going to be fine, because once we get them, we groom them for life.
Wow. Okay. What are some signs or changes in behavior that parents should look for in their children that may indicate that there is a potential problem at school?
Well, Ms. Williams mentioned changes in behavior abruptly. Sometimes a very happy child, or sometimes a child that is always having fun, making good grades, and just seem to be well-rounded. Grades start to fall.
Mm-hmm.
The behavior changes with the mannerism. Perhaps they want to dress differently. Sometimes their eating habits change, their conversation change. Just notice subtle differences.
Okay.
Because it's all part of them trying to fit in as well.
Okay. Wow. Are there resources at the high school level? Just Ms. Williams mentioned earlier that, you know, getting the teacher or the counselor involved, but are there any additional resources that can help children who may be having a problem with coping with issues at the high school level?
And, you know, first and foremost, we always say the guidance office. We have books. We have a lot of resources. But our media center, it's not just for academics. We have all sorts of books where students could go in, pick up a book, and just read about things that's happening day to day. And sometimes just while they're reading, they can get information that maybe perhaps they may be too shy to come talk to a counselor about or to share with a friend.
Okay. Okay. Now, I know that this is a discussion that you and I had earlier when we started preparing for the show, is the focus on getting your child ready for college, work, life, et cetera, after high school. What should students do to get ready in 4 years to face work, college, marriage, et cetera, after high school?
That's a very good question.
Okay.
I have a daughter in college.
Mm-hmm.
I have a son in 10th grade.
Okay.
And my daughter is in her senior year. And some of the same things that I share with her, I find I'm sharing different things with my son because child is different.
Right.
The question that I ask my daughter is, what are you going to do with your life when you finish high school? And I let her answer the question. And she wasn't really sure initially. And once she was able to say, well, I'm definitely going to college, we had a starting point. My son, on the other hand, is now in 10th grade, and he's already saying, I want to go and check out the schools to be a graphics engineer. He's a little more focused.
Okay.
So you have to look at each child differently, and one of the things parents can also do is ask the kid, tell me what you're interested in. Because once you find out what they're really interested in, there's always a career that matches those interests.
Right.
Always. I can find anything that a child likes and tie it to a particular career interest.
Okay. Wow. Can you recommend some resources available to help students with accomplishing these goals? And when, I think one of the points that we talked about is, when should all of this start?
Okay. It should start in 9th grade. That's the first middle school, great, 9th grade, start really thinking about it. Because in middle school sometimes they may have a different career in mind. But I think once they get to 9th grade, they really start to know themselves.
Okay.
We start thinking about what they want to do in 6th grade, 7th and 8th, and that's good. It's good to expose them to careers.
Right.
I really want them to have that broad base. But once they're in 9th grade, make a checklist. Start with visiting the high school career center, and we have one. Meet with your counselor in 9th grade and plan your study.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2010, there's been a law put in place. It's called the Bridge Law. And this Bridge Law requires that every student between 6th grade and 12th grade have mandatory advisement.
Ooh.
Well, in our county, we've been doing advisement since I've been working in the county. So we're doing that, and we're talking with them about college, and we're planning, and we're doing it in the elementary school, the middle school, and the high school. So we're doing those things. So ninth grade, definitely do that.
Wow. I've never heard of that law, so you just taught me something.
It started out as a plan, bridge plan, and it became law in 2010. But while we're talking about that, I wanted to share a website that we actually use in our county, and it's a state website.
Okay.
It's actually called www.gacollege411.org. And that website, parents could sign up, students sign up, and we have all of our students signed up in school. And on that website, they can actually take a interest inventory test and sort of match their personality with their interests. There are so many tests they can take to tell them, well, maybe this might be aligned with your skill set, realistic things for them to do.
Wow, that's interesting. Oh, that's a very good resource. Can you give that web address one more time?
Yes, it's www.gacollege411.org.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful for our listeners. Now, let me ask you this. What are some common misconceptions that parents and students make about getting ready for college or work, et cetera, after high school?
They have time. That's what they think.
Ah.
They think they have lots of time. In 12th grade, sometimes I meet parents for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Start in ninth grade. It's good when you meet a parent in ninth grade, you see the parent again in 10th, 11th, and 12th, because you know that they are thinking about the future. They're thinking about choices.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you meet parents, and it may be because of a conflict with jobs or whatever, but sometimes they come in 12th grade because they think, oh, we have time.
Mm. Wow. And then that time flies by.
Yes, it does. It does.
And then they're wondering, okay, now what are we going to do, right?
That's right.
Now, I wanted to ask you this. Do you actually assist students with filling out college applications? And do you do that, like, around 10th, 11th grade? Or when does that start?
That's also a very good question, because I have parents call quite a bit about that.
Okay.
If you go on the website, the GeorgiaCollege411.org website, it is a fabulous resource. It actually has financial aid planning. It tells you how to fill out the FAFSA. It has high school planning. It has career planning. And as I mentioned before, it even have like a checklist of things that they can do in each grade level. Ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th, and 12th. And in the 12th grade, usually sometimes in the spring, is when a senior will complete and submit the FAFSA, because that's usually done in January after taxes are done.
Okay. Wow. That's very good resource that you gave our listeners. In your experience as a counselor, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing high school students today? That's a loaded question, I know.
It really is loaded, but the one thing that comes to mind is keeping them interested, keeping them challenged, because nationwide we still have a very high dropout rate, and students are learning different things via the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
They love technology. So we have to be innovative and teach them in ways that's interesting to them. We can't just stand up in front of the board and say, okay, let's learn this way. We have to give them a variety of ways to learn so they can be successful. Keep them motivated. Keep them interested.
Right. Now, with that said, that now that you've mentioned social media, what is important about, what advice would you give our students about dealing with social media responsibly?
Let's see. The biggest thing I can say is, Prevention. Cyberbullying.
Okay.
Most times our students don't think that saying nasty things on the Internet or Facebook or texting is bullying. But cyberbullying is really, really, it's something that's overlooked sometimes. It's intentional and it's repeated. And they just take for granted, oh, I just text my friend or I just call my friend on a cell phone.
Right.
It's intentional.
And you know what? It's people need to really wake up to that because, you know, I know people, unless you live with your head in the sand, you've heard these stories on the news about students actually committing suicide because they've been bullied over the internet or what have you. And so it's real. It's an issue. And just like you said, you know, prevention. And then that goes along with what you said earlier about being in tune with what your child is doing, you know, get involved. And, you know, in our house, you know, especially with my kids at the age that they're at, we tell them they really don't have any privacy.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just being really involved and in tune and knowing what's going on and asking those key questions. So thank you so much for sharing your information with us, with our listeners tonight, and especially that resource, www.georgiagacollege411.org. Thank you so much, and you definitely taught me a few things tonight. It's been enlightening, so thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Allie. I appreciate the invite because it's been insightful for me just to hear some of the things that Ms. Williams shared. But before I leave, I wanted to share one thing with the parents.
Okay.
With bullying, I wanted them to recognize that bullying is a repeated pattern. It's usually harmful, rejecting behavior. Sometimes, you know, we may think, well, all teenagers have that. There's a difference between bullying and drama. Drama is an everyday thing
right.
that all teenagers experience, and it's usually at one point or another, but it's not harmful.
Mm-hmm.
It may be someone saying something such as, you jumped the line, you fool, or you jerk, or whatever, and it's a one-time thing.
Right.
But bullying, it's very hurtful. It's something that's intentional, and it's meant to be painful.
Right.
So I
wanted
them
to repeat it.
It's repeated.
Right. That's a very good point. Thank you for sharing that. So we're going to take a short station break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation tonight with our special guests. And if we have callers, then we will take them after the break. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and I'm joined tonight by executive producer Mel D. So please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you
just joining us, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff. Do you have a layoff story? If you do, please contact us. We are booking guests with their stories of layoff for the months of September and October. We want to hear real stories from real people so you can inspire others to know that there is life after layoff. Go to our website at www.atlantaliferadio.com and click on to our Contact Us page. And please contact us and let us know if you are interested in being a guest on our show. Now back to our show with Allie. Allie?
Okay, Meldy. We are back. If you're just joining us, welcome. And you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff. And I'm Allie, your host. And while Doc is off tonight, I am joined by executive producer Mel D. Now, we are ready, Mel D. If we have any callers, we are ready to take callers on the line. Do we have any callers lined up?
Well, at this time, we do not have any callers. I am happy to report that our board is lit up. So
okay.
What I'd like to do at this time is bring both of our guests back on air, and what we can do is continue talking for at least maybe another 5 minutes.
Okay.
And I had a question.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Is Ms. Williams and Ms. Bonaparte with us?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I had a question. The theme of the show is There Is Life After Layoff, and we all know that many kids bring the stress from the home into the school environment. What advice as counselors would you give to parents who are dealing with a personal job layoff and then their kids transitioning either from grade school to middle school or from middle school to high school? What advice would you give them? Should they come and talk to the counselors about the home situation?
Vanessa, you want to go first?
Yeah, I can. It's always good if a counselor knows, because then perhaps she can share with the students some resources. Sometimes get involved in free activities that may not cost additional funds. The kids may, you know, become involved in sports, do some other things that perhaps they hadn't thought about before. And once you understand that there are other things to get involved with, it may take the stress off not having the money to do the things that parents have done before.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
I wanted to, if I could add to that, particularly with our younger kids, and I know sometimes situations, it's hard to hide things, and I'm not saying totally hide, I think, but it's important to be, it's a fine line with how and what you share with your kids, because you don't want them to take on your stresses, because they are kids. And so I'm not saying don't share, you know, your financial issues with your kids, but just be mindful, because a lot of times our kids, you know, are not knowingly, they take on our stresses, and you know, you still want them to enjoy being
right.
a child and just worrying about homework and, you know, having friends and things like that. So I think it is important for the parents to share with the counselor, just so we're aware, like Ms. Bonaparte said, to make sure if we have resources that will be helpful, that we can share those with the family. But, you know, also being mindful that, you know, your kids still are kids, and you don't want to put too much on them
right.
in terms, you know,
I agree with that, because, you know, at that age, they really don't know how to deal with that stress, and you don't want it to affect their schoolwork or what have you. So, yes, that definitely you have to kind of, you know, not, like you said, hide it completely, but just it's not necessarily what you say, but how you say things pretty much.
Right. Right.
So, yes, I would definitely agree with that.
We got a caller.
Oh, great.
We have a caller. I'm going to bring them on the air right now while we got a couple of minutes.
All right.
Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hi. My name is Shay Johnson, and I was just calling to say that I'm a high school student myself. It's I'm about to start my senior year in high school, actually, tomorrow.
Yay!
So,
hey!
So I just really wanted to say that I definitely agree with everything that both of the special guests have said this evening. It's a really hard, and sometimes, you know, it can be very, very, very difficult to transition from elementary school to middle school to high school. So I definitely can relate to everything. Especially with the whole college planning, because I just also submitted an application to Clemson University the other day.
Woo-hoo!
So,
congratulations.
I just want to say I definitely understand.
What grade, let me ask you, Shay, and thank you for calling in and being brave enough to call in. First of all, what grade did you actually start thinking about where you wanted to go to college?
I was in the eighth grade.
That's
wow.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
That's phenomenal. Wow. And you just set a plan, you set a goal, and that's what you worked toward throughout, you know, high school, the end of middle school and into high school, huh?
Yes, ma'am. It was, and a lot of my friends were like, why are you planning so early? We got plenty of time. And I'm like, well, we're going to high school next year, so technically we don't have time. So in high school, we're going to be running around like chickens with our heads cut off, because we have to plan.
Right.
And I'm a personality, so, you know.
I really think, I really think you should also consider going to grad school. You will be an excellent counselor.
Absolutely.
She is definitely the exception to the rule.
Yes. Stop thinking about it.
I'm on track to, you know, I want to go to law school. I feel that I want to be an attorney, but, you know, I could consider that.
Wow, you are going to definitely be successful at whatever you choose. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us tonight, Shay. Thank you.
And
I want to take this time to, as we get ready to wind down tonight, to thank both of our guests for joining us tonight. Thank you, because, like I said, you have both taught me something about how to deal with my own situation and my children making transitions in their education. So thank you for your willingness to share with our listeners tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Okay. So as we get ready to close out tonight, another episode, I want to urge all of you all to please plan to tune in for our August 13th show on Holistic Healing with Dr. Shay. And she happens to be an ordained metaphysical minister and a naturopathic doctor, an iridologist, and a kinesiologist with over 22 years of experience. So for those of you who may prefer a more holistic approach to medicine, this is a show that you definitely won't want to miss. So we remind all of you to please tune in for that next Tuesday between 7 and 8 p.m. And as we wind down tonight, we remind you that if you're on Facebook, please friend us at Atlanta Life Radio, and please continue to follow us on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio at ALR Radio. And on behalf of myself, I'm Ali, and our executive producer, Mel D, as well as Doc, who will be back with us real soon. We thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready. What God has for you, tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Testimony. promise, yet we must trust and believe. For the only freedom I have ever known has come from you alone. Can you?